Everyone else, go to Romans chapter number 12 tonight. Romans chapter number 12. We'll continue there in that passage. Anybody need a handout? Just lift your hand up real high and our ushers will be glad to give you one. Romans chapter 12. Did you notice there was a whole lot of eating going on in that report tonight? And did anybody happen to notice that my 20-year-old son was always the center of the eating? Did you notice that? Do you think I was surprised by that? No. No, we pay the grocery bill every month, so there was no surprise there, let me tell you. Yeah, that was a great report tonight. I appreciate that, Pastor Rich. That was awesome, really good. Romans chapter number 12. All right. Are you saved tonight? You know Jesus is your Savior? Well, if you do know Jesus as your Savior, have you ever wondered why He didn't just take you to heaven when you trusted Christ? It sure could have alleviated a lot of problems, huh? Get saved, whoop, we're in heaven, you know. But that's not the way it works. And your handout says the reason why it doesn't work that way is because God has a work for you to do. When you get saved, you're on the receiving end. And you get all the blessings and you get salvation from your sins and forgiveness of your sins. And you receive an inheritance in the heavenly places. And you receive all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And you receive an adoption into the family of God. And you receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. You get God's Holy Spirit. And so you get all these things, all these wonderful blessings when you get saved. You're on the total receiving end. You're the taker. Well, God leaves you on the earth so that you can give something back. You see, God has a ministry for you. I'm talking to you now, not your husband, your wife, your neighbor. I'm talking to you. God has a ministry for you. What is ministry? In your handout, it says that ministry is giving to, and ministry is serving others. It's giving to and serving, what's the key word there? Others. Ministry is something that happens through you to other people. That's what ministry is. That's a very plain and simple definition. Now, we've talked about being a church for what? So, if ministry is giving to and helping others, and if we want to be a church for others, then what should be taking place in a church for others? That is not a trick question. The title will give you the answer, the title of the lesson, okay? In a church for others. Now think about this. If ministry is giving to and helping others, and if we want to be a church for others, then what should be abounding in a church for others? Ministry. Yeah, helping people, reaching out to others. And so in a church for others, the members of that local church have what I call a ministry mindset. Not a selfish mindset, a ministry mindset. In a church for others, ministry abounds. It abounds. Every believer in a local church should be actively engaged in ministry. Why? Number one, because every believer is saved to serve. We covered that last week, so I don't have any notes there under there because we covered that in its entirety. Go to Romans 12 and look at verse 1. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that's the basis on which he's beseeching them, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Notice this phrase, which is your reasonable what? Service. So what he's saying there is what? He's saying, look, based on the mercy and the forgiveness of God in your life, based on all that God's done for you, you really should want to serve God. You really should want to minister. You should want to give something back. You know, he's saying, I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God. You have received the mercy, the grace of God. You've received the forgiveness of God. You've received all these wonderful things from God. I beseech you on that basis that you present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. And he said, that's your reasonable service. So if you've been saved by his mercy, then you know what? I don't serve God out of shame. I don't serve him out of guilt. I don't serve him out of fear because I'm afraid he's going to zap me if I don't. No, the reason why I serve God is I serve Him out of gratitude because I want to serve God. I want to do it. It's my reasonable service. So Paul said, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And we realize that Christ died for us so that we could live unto Him. And verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. The world isn't going to teach you this kind of service. Okay, the world is going to tell you, look out for number one. So you're not going to do verse 1 by being conformed to the world. You got to have a totally different attitude. It's like Steve Shrunk said at the men's prayer. That was a great devotion, by the way. I've talked to you several times since then, and I haven't told you. That was an awesome devotion yesterday morning. If you missed the men's prayer breakfast, really a blessing. A man always gets up, gives a devotion, and it was a great group of men yesterday morning there. And we eat, just like you saw up on the screen, we eat. And Steve gave a great devotion, and he hit on the fact how that the world, there's a thinking out there in the world that is, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about what makes me feel good. It's all about what I like. See, and what he's saying in verse 2 there is that you're not going to have a heart of service if you're conformed to the world's mindset. He said you can't be conformed to the world, but notice, be ye transformed. I like that word. By the renewing of your mind. You got to get some different thinking in your mind. That, look at it, once I get the right thinking and I get that heart, that thinking of serving and giving to others, then he says that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let me ask you a question. Is it God's will for a Christian to serve? Yes. You are saved to serve. And you know, it's something I've heard for years, and it's true, though. We're not just saved to sit. We're saved to serve, you know? And that's the way it is. You are to be actively engaged in ministry. Because if you're not doing verse 1, and if you're not engaged in service, then you're never going to experience verse 2, the acceptable, perfect will of God. You're going to be out of the will of God until you find your place of service. Does that make sense, church? You're not going to be in the will of God if you're not serving, because it is the will of God. You are saved to serve. Okay? Now, let's look at the second thing. And we didn't finish this last week, so hopefully we'll finish this one up tonight. Number 2, every believer is gifted to serve. I want you to write that in there. Every believer is gifted to serve. Now, let's read verse 4. Would you go there with me, please? Romans 12, verse 4. It says, for as we have, as, so we're going to have deal with an illustration here. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, here's the illustration of, here's what that illustrates. So we, being many, writing to the church here, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So what does he do? He says, you know what? You local church there at Rome, you are like a human body. In your handout, it says there that, actually it's not in your handout. It was in your handout last week. You have different members of your body, different functions, but yet they all have a function. You know, I've got two hands and 2 feet, and my feet and my hands, are they both members of my body? Yeah. But do they function the same? No. You know, you got 2 eyes. You got a nose. But what's the function of your nose? So you can see good? No. The function of your nose is to smell. And when your nose has problems, it's good to have a man-sized Kleenex box. Clint came home with one of those boxes, brother. That thing is that big? Scott McGuire was sitting next to me. And I looked at that box, and I'm like, that's for some serious nose blowing right there, let me tell you. But you know, your nose is for smelling, your eyes are for seeing. But are they both members of the same body? Yes. So you get the illustration. You're in the body of Christ. You're a member. You're not going to be gifted the same way as me. You're not going to be like me. You don't need to be like me. You don't even need to think about being like me. You need to be you. You see, in your handout, it says that when God places you in the body of the church, He expects you to function, not vegetate. You're not to just sit around and vegetate. God said, I put you in the body, my son's body. Now I want you to function. I want you to function. In your handout, let's go to the next statement there. It says there, because God expects you to function as a contributing member of the body, God has what? He's gifted you to serve. Go down to verse 6. It says, having then gifts differing. Now look at that. Go back up to verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So there's one body, but we're all different members. And then verse 6, having then gifts, what's the next word? Differing, according to the grace that's given to us. It's all by His grace. I can't sit around bragging on my gifts. I can't sit around envying Steve Trunk's gifts, okay? I can't sit around envying Pastor Larry's gifts. His gifts are different than mine. Pastor Rich's gifts are different than mine. And I look around the church and I just see so much giftedness as I look out there. And your gifts are different than mine. But I can't sit around worrying about what you have. Okay? I can't sit around worrying about what you've got and wanting what you've got. That's not going to profit anything. He says, having then gifts differing. You have to be you. You have to be who God's made you in Christ. Can I get an amen to that? You've got to be who God made you in Christ. And use those gifts. You have raw natural talents that maybe you were born with. You've got abilities that you've learned over the years. God wants to use those too. But then you also have gifts. Spiritual gifts that God gave you when you got saved. The Holy Spirit gave you those. And those are specifically... See, you can take your raw natural talents and abilities, and you can go out there and you can use them to make money maybe. Or you can use them to go out and do business. You can use them to go out and do things out there that are of a secular origin. You can go out and use those raw natural talents and abilities to go out and earn a living and do all kinds of things. And really be proficient at different things. Or, do things to beautify your home, or do things in your yard, or do things to help your kids, or do things to provide an income. And you can take those raw natural talents and abilities, and yeah, you need to use those for the Lord too, but you can also use those for you. Spiritual gifts are given to you by the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Those are to be used for spiritual purposes and spiritual use within the body of Christ. In your handout, it says the purpose of those gifts is to be a blessing to others. The purpose of those gifts is to be a blessing to others. I want you to go over to the next book. Keep your bookmarker here and go to 1 Corinthians 14. It's the next book after Romans. And go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number, we're going to go down here. Hey, Pastor Larry, will you grab 1 Peter 4:10? You just go to that one yourself, and I'm going to have you read it here in a moment for us. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:12. Of course, those of you who are in our study in Corinthians, all that's online. If you ever want to go through this book and study that, all these messages are online. But you know that 1 Corinthians in chapters 12, 13, and 14, three chapters are devoted to the subject of spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14, 12, he says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of yourself. Is that what it says? Are spiritual gifts given for your edification or for others? For others. He says, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of who? Do you see? Now look up here. Do you understand this? God, you use your raw natural talents and abilities, and you can use those for the Lord, but you also use those for yourself every day. You go out and you use them for yourself to earn a living or to do things for yourself. That's fine. No problem. Spiritual gifts are given to you by the Holy Spirit for you to use to edify others within the body of Christ. That's the difference between spiritual gifts and just raw natural talents and abilities. Okay? Look at read that for us. He's going to read 1 Peter 4:10. Just listen.
As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Now, Steve Shrunk used that in men's prayer breakfast yesterday, and that was kind of the crux of what you were talking about yesterday. And I hope you caught that. Read it one more time and listen on purpose to these words. Listen to this.
As every man hath received the gift.
As you have received the gift.
Even so minister the same one to another.
Minister. So you get that? Minister the same one to another. The purpose of your gifts is to be a blessing to others. Your gifts are not for self-edification. Now, I want you to get this. Please hear me. Your spiritual gifts are not for your self-edification. Remember last week I gave the illustration? I said, you think I have the ability to teach God's Word? You believe that? Okay, and you said yes. Most of you said yes last week. And so, Pastor Dan, you got the ability to teach God's Word. And I said, well, now what if I was to take that gift and the only time I ever used it was to open up my Bible in front of the mirror and teach myself every morning? And everybody laughed and thought, that's ridiculous. What good is that? Exactly. Exactly. That's about as silly as you taking a gift and just using it to edify yourself. The purpose of gifts are not to edify you. They're to edify what? Others. We're a church for others. And that's what spiritual gifts are for. They're for others. Now, once you're saved and you know the Lord, I want you to picture yourself as a member of God's team. God longs for you to be a contributing member of the team. There is no worse feeling than being a member of a team and feeling like that you have no value or importance to the team at all. Now, nobody wants to feel that way. Nobody wants to feel like, well, I'm on the team, but I'm just taking up space. Well, I'm on the team, but I'm totally irrelevant. Nobody wants to feel that way. People want to feel like they're part of the team. Tonight we had the awards assembly for our baseball team, and I enjoyed another season of coaching baseball for my son's baseball team, and I always enjoy that. It's a lot of fun. We had a blast. And we had these boys on the team, and I had one boy that had never really played baseball ever before. And he had some natural ability, and that was obvious from day one. But, of course, it was just raw. I mean, he had just never played. So we coached him and coached him. Finally, by the time the game started, he wasn't hitting real well. He wasn't getting any hits. And I'm like, look, you are fundamentally sound. You have listened to the coaching. Your swing is good. You're doing right with all the mechanics of what you need to be doing. You lack confidence, but the hits will come. Be patient. Well, we were many, many games into the season, and no hit had come. And so he's thinking, thanks a lot, coach. You know, yeah, sure, the hits are going to come, and the hits hadn't come. Well, finally, when we got to that last third of the season, he started hitting that ball. And he's a big boy. And when he hit it, it went. And he had a single, and he was so excited. First time he'd, you know, gotten a hit and got on base. Then pretty soon, a triple. He's to third base. Then he rips one of that, gets a double. Finally, the last game, this kid hit one past the outfielder and got an inside the park home run. And the team came out of the dugout and was mobbing him. They about killed him when he came over to the dugout. I thought, they're going to hurt the boy, you know. And they were mobbing him, and this kid was grinning from ear to ear. And it was so neat because even though I would have never said this to him, he felt like, I'm not a contributing member of the team. You know, I'm irrelevant. And that made him really feel good that he now felt like I'm a contributing member of this team. I want to just say this to you tonight. There is absolutely no reason for you to feel like that you are an irrelevant member on God's team. There is no reason for any believer to feel that way. You do not have to sit on the grandstands. You do not have to sit on the sideline. You are gifted to serve. And there is a place for you in God's service. There is a place for you to impact others. There is a place for you in this local assembly. Listen, right now as I teach you, there is ministry going on the property right now. We've got probably close to 100 teenagers next door. Can I just tell you tonight that 100 teenagers, Brother Rob's not over there by himself with them. Okay, it's not one man with 100 teenagers. Aren't you glad for that? We would like for that building to be standing when we get done, right? So what has he got? He's got a whole group of leaders that are giving up this service to be over there to minister to others. Right now as I speak, we have ladies giving up this service, giving up what you're hearing, so that they can go over there and hold those babies and those toddlers and feed those babies and change those babies' diapers. And they are ministering, see, others. It's all about others. They're doing that right now. Ministry is going on. When I came in, Brother Jim Ritalik's going around in the golf cart and he's working security tonight. And he's making sure your cars are safe out there, and he's making sure that we're safe, and he's ministering. See, he's doing that for others. Not for his own benefit, he's doing it for others. The soundboard. You know, they're working the soundboard. Someone's gonna come in after us tonight, and somebody is going to have to lock all these doors back. And it's not gonna be pastoral staff member, it's gonna be a volunteer, and I'm not exactly sure. I think we got a couple guys doing that. But they're gonna come and lock all these buildings up, turn all the lights off, make sure the buildings are secure when we're long gone and we're home. That's ministry. It's serving others. Clint was telling me, you know, we cancel Awana in the summertime. We don't have Awana in the summer. And so now on Sunday nights, when we're in here having church, they're going to have a ministry for 3, 4, and 5-year-olds called Little Lambs. They're going to have a ministry for the 1st through 4th graders called Bible Explorers. And there are volunteers that are going to give up Sunday night service. Why? So they can minister. What's ministry? Ministry is giving to and it's serving others. That's what I'm talking about. There's no reason for you to not feel like you're part of the team. You say, well, nobody up there at that church has ever asked me to do nothing. I got a really innovative idea. Volunteer. Okay, that's a cop-out. Every single Sunday morning, just about, on the back of the care card, what are we asking for? We're asking for volunteers. We're asking for help. We're asking, hey, anybody interested in ministering? Anybody want to serve? Bus ministry, I think that was on their Sunday. Anybody want to go help kids get to church? Anybody want to go out and drive a bus for Jesus? Because you got a, what's that license called? A CDL? You got a CDL and you're going to use it for Jesus? Anybody out there want to go out on Saturday and invite boys and girls to come to church? Yeah, see, that's what we were doing. We're just saying, does anybody want to serve? Anybody want to minister? In your handout, it says the effectiveness of our church depends on the number of people who are involved in meaningful ministry. What are you doing to minister? The effectiveness of our church does not depend on me. The effectiveness, and boy, I tell you what, I would love to, you know, I could get a puffed up spirit and I could get all, you know, full of myself and just think, oh boy, you know, this church is gonna grow and it's going to do this because of me and because I'm preaching and teaching. And you know what, that definitely helps. Okay, you got to teach the Word of God. You got to have pastors who are apt to teach. There's no doubt about that. That's part of the equation, but that's not the whole equation. You know what? If I'm up here teaching, but there's nobody ministering to the children, there's nobody ministering in the nurseries, there's nobody ministering at the welcome center, there's no ushers to help people, there's no one out there in the parking lot helping folks, there's nobody's helping anybody. You think people are going to come back to our church? No. You see, it takes a team effort of everybody using their gifts. One of the problems in the modern day American church that I've seen This is the modern day American church mentality. Whenever there's a need in the church, and I don't think really our church is this way, really I don't. But I think a lot of churches in America have this ration. This is the rationale. If there's a need in the church, maybe it's a maintenance need, maybe it's a, you know, something that needs done to the buildings, maybe it's a ministry need, you know, that we have, and so we think, well, let's hire an outside professional to come in and meet the need. Let's hire somebody to come in and do it. Oh, we got a ministry need? Let's hire another pastor to come in and do that. Oh, we have a need for something to be fixed up at the church? Well, let's hire somebody to come in and fix it. And the rationale many times is, let's just... And so what happens is, what you have in a lot of churches is you got a lot of people sitting and watching, while the paid staff and the professionals are running around like crazy trying to do the work of the ministry. And you know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like what I see on TV on Sundays in football season. You say, what do you mean? What do you see when you watch football? You see 22 men out on a field. And they're playing their heart out, and they're knocking their heads together, and they're sweating, and they're working, and they're laboring. You got about 100 people on the sidelines watching them. About 100 on both sidelines that are watching those 22 guys out there. Then you got about 60,000 people up in the grandstands, and they're yelling and screaming and second-guessing everything that happens down there. And that looks like a lot of churches. You know, they say that every football team can use a quarterback who never fumbles, never throws an interception, and never misses an open receiver. The problem is, there's no way to get him to lay down his hot dog and come down out of the stands. We just can't get him to lay his hot dog down and come out of the stands. He's there, he thinks, you know. And that's like a lot of churches. We can't get people to lay their hot dogs down, come out of the pews, and quit just sitting there second guessing everything and just get involved in the ministry with everybody else. You know, just put down the hot dog or the Bible. You know, I mean, you say, well, put down the Bible. Yeah. There is a time to pray. Would you agree? There's a time to study the Word. Would you agree? Then there's a time to minister. There's a time I set this down, okay, unless, of course, my ministry is around teaching that. But if not, there's a time I put that down and I get up off my knees and I go help somebody. I go minister. I go help somebody. I go do something with what I'm learning. I go do something with what I've been praying about. And I go do something to help somebody. Yeah, see, there's a balance there, see. Somebody who only studies the Word and they don't pray and they don't minister. You know what they are? They are a spiritual egghead. They think they know everything, and they're going to go around and correct everybody and straighten out everybody, and they're arrogant because knowledge what? Puffeth up. Somebody who really only prays, but they don't study and they don't ever get out and help people and minister, they become very almost spooky, you know. And they're always very, you know, going to try to discern everybody. And, ooh, hey, what are you doing? And, they think they're going to straighten everybody out because they got this insight because I pray all the time. I know I can see right in your heart. You may not know it, Pastor Larry, but I've been praying for you and you're sitting there unclothed before me. And Larry's like, I am not. But yeah, people who only are going to pray, but they're never going to minister, and they're never going to, they don't study the Word, they get real spooky and just real. And I'm serious. And then you got people who aren't going to pray and they're not really going to study, and all they're going to do is go out and just minister. Well, the problem with that is they're out there doing it in the flesh. And they're not doing it being rooted in God's Word and rooted in prayer and depending on God and depending on the Holy Spirit. So they're out there doing it in the flesh, and they end up burning out or getting mad at people, and people don't appreciate me, and people don't appreciate all I do, and they just end up getting offended and quitting. Do you see where it takes a balance of all three of those? You need to pray, you need to study the Word, and then you need to get out and help people and minister. But it takes a balance of those. And that's one of the hardest things in your Christian life, is to maintain that balance. I'm not up here telling you that's easy. I've struggled with that for 20-something years, and I still am. So I'm telling you right up front, that's not an easy thing to do. But I'm telling you, it takes balance. You have to be balanced. God gifts members of the local church. Listen to me. Common, ordinary, everyday people. He gifts common, that's all I am. I'm a common, ordinary, everyday guy, just like you. Well, some of you aren't guys, you're gals, but you get the point. I mean that. I'm just a common, I don't know what you envision when you think of the pastors of the church. We don't go around our houses going, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." We don't go around our house doing that. I'm just a common, everyday, ordinary guy. Right before I got here, I had on a t-shirt and shorts and tennis shoes and was in the Port Orange gym with my baseball team. I'm just a common, ordinary, everyday guy, but I've been given gifts by God's Holy Spirit, and I want to use those gifts to help people. You're a common, ordinary, everyday person. You're a common, ordinary, everyday Joe like me. Okay? But God wants to use you. He has gifted you so that you can take the gifts He's given you and use those for the furtherance and for the advancement of the church, the body of Christ. That's what God wants to do. And in your handout there, I'm going to give you this, and the next week I'm going to come back, and with Pastor Rich's thing tonight and everything, I knew I wasn't going to get all the way through this, and that's okay, because I don't want to hurry this. Next week I'm going to come back, and we're going to go through all those gifts that we read in Romans 12. I'm going to explain to you all those different team gifts, what they are. Hopefully you'll be able to identify one or two of those and say, "Man, that's one of my gifts." Next week we're going to come back and look at those, okay? But look at number 5 in your handout. It says, God gives certain people in the church with teaching and leadership gifts, okay? So that we would call them leaders. And that's certainly biblical. We're going to look at that in Ephesians 4 next week. God gives certain people teaching and leadership gifts so that they can grow and mature the saints and prepare them for ministry. You see, God gives people in the local church to be leaders and teachers of the Word so that you can grow, learn what your gifts are, and then use them for His honor and glory. And next week we're going to look at those gifts and what those are. Okay? All right, let's stop there for tonight. And that's enough for tonight. Well, next week, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of this and look at those gifts, okay? All right, let's pray. Ushers, if you'll come. Father, thank you, God, for your word tonight. And Lord, help us to realize, God, that we all have gifts if we're saved. And that we need to use those to edify others in the body of Christ. They're not for our self-edification. They're for the edification of others. They're to minister to others. And may we find our place of ministry in the body of Christ. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Let's stand to